It appears that the host has already dialed into the show. Only one host is allowed per show.
You're listening to The Key 107, opening the doors to endless possibilities in the pursuit of love, peace, and happiness with your host, Dr. Rafika.
Welcome to the Keys 107. We are live. We are so excited to be here with you tonight. After last week's technology debacle, we are back, and Imam Abdul Salam Muhammad is here. He's ready. But before we get started, we've got some things that we have to take care of because you know who we are. We are the Keys 107. We open doors to endless possibilities in the pursuit of love, peace, and happiness. And we got a little technical thing going on right now, but it's okay. We're back. So Dr. Atiya is here to talk about the race is not for the swift, but for those who can endure. We're on season 10, episode 4 of the Keys 107, and we're going to be talking to many of our guests. Oh my gosh, the callers are online right now. Thank you all for tuning in. Many of our listeners have observed Ramadan and were able to clean up some of those not so good habits. We are fortunate to have a very special guest to help us work through staying on track. But before we begin, let's take a moment and remember, I'm emotional as I even say this to you, but let's take a moment and remember student regional minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, who unfortunately left us in 2020. He is gone, but never forgotten. Those who know Minister Hafiz will know how emotional this day on April 11th is for all who he has touched, and he was known as the people's minister. And moving on to the next segment, Dr. Atiya is here. She's going to do the healthy tip of the day, and she's going to talk about taking it slow, as the late reggae singer Sugar Minot says, the race is not for the swift, but for those who can endure.
It's time for the healthy tip of the day, presented by Tech Tools for Life, and the Fluffs present the alphabet.
Hey there, health enthusiasts. Are you ready to ease on down the road to a healthier and happier you? Well, this is Dr. Atiya with the health tip of the day. Grab your ruby slippers because today's health tip comes straight from the magical land of wisdom and wonder. You might be thinking to yourself, what's really the secret to a healthier lifestyle? Well, my friends and fellow travelers, it's as simple as following the golden advice from the Wiz, ease on down the road. Envision this, you strolling down the road of good health with a skip in your step and a smile on your face. It's not about sprinting or taking giant leaps. It's about easing into it and embracing the journey one step at a time. Ease on down the road means making small, sustainable changes to your daily routine. Swap that elevator for the stairs. Get off the couch and out of your slumber. Just like Dorothy on her journey to the Wiz, there are valuable lessons to be learned from the people we encounter on our road to health. Dorothy faced challenges, met diverse characters, and discovered profound wisdom along the yellow brick road. And much like Dorothy, you too will encounter mentors and companions on your path to well-being. Embrace the support of friends, family, or even health professionals who can offer guidance and encouragement. Learn from their experiences and let them be your companions on this transformative journey. Remember the scarecrow seeking a brain, the tin man in search of a heart, and the cowardly lion in pursuit of courage. Well, in your pursuit of a healthier lifestyle, recognize the importance of balance. Nurture your mind with knowledge about nutrition and fitness, and listen to your heart's desire for overall well-being, and summon the courage to make positive changes. Dorothy discovered that she had the power within herself all along. Realize that your strength for a healthier life is already within you. Tap into your inner resources, resilience, and determination. Let the lessons of the yellow brick road guide you towards self-discovery and empowerment. So health enthusiasts, as you ease on down the road to a healthier and happier you, be open to the lessons and inspirations that come your way. Just like Dorothy and her companions, your journey is not just about reaching a destination, but about personal growth, connection, and the magic of self-discovery. This is Dr. Atiya with your health tip of the day, reminding you that every step on your wellness journey is an opportunity for growth and transformation. If you would like to reach out to me, feel free to send an email to atiyakm@gmail.com. You can also visit my website at www.dratiyasenegal.com. And that's DratiyaSenegal.com. Or you can always connect with me on Facebook.com/Dr. Atiya Senegal. And in this case, doctor is spelled out. Until next time, ease on down the road.
Now back to the Keys 107.
Wow. Nobody brings it like Dr. Atiya K. Senegal. Thank you once again for that healthy tip of the day. And for those of you who are listening via your computer, or if you are listening via your tablet, any mobile device, the call-in number is 515-602-9760. That's 515-602-9760. You can call in, ask your question, make a comment. Always be respectful. I am your host, Dr. Rafika, and I am going to bring in Imam Salam in 1 second. But before I do that, I got to tell you who this brother is. He is a Baltimore native. He's known for his ability to recall facts and historical information, specifically on the Nation of Islam and Black history. His interest peaked through wanting to learn more about Malcolm X, which led him to his first mosque meeting in 1989. And in 1990, he attended the Stop the Killing rally, where he heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speak in person for the first time, and it was on from then. He joined the Nation of Islam when he was 16 years old, and many years of service led him to a position of the resident imam of Muhammad Mosque No. 6 since 2022. The Baltimore resident of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan at the age of 20 years old, making him the youngest minister of the Nation of Islam at the time, and the national archivist and historian for the Nation of Islam since 2014. He is known for his stellar organizing skills with the famous Million Man March, and years later, its 20th anniversary observation. And there is just so much more to this brother. Let's bring him in. Imam Salam, your mic is live. Check in.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Ramadan. Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak and Eid Kareem to all of your listeners, and of course to you, Dr. Rafika, and your family. Thank you so much for having me. We're finally here. And I'm very honored on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to be a helper and student of his to help our people with the message that has been given to us through him from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I, like you, when you reflecting on our brother and friend, student regional minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, Rahimi Allah, may Allah have mercy on him, We who have been touched by our brother, and he touched so many, but especially in the nation of Islam, to this day we miss our brother, but we know he still lives and he is with us. And it was in 2019 into 2020, the early part of 2020, when I made Umrah. And one of the highlights of my life, not knowing what the next few months would bring to the world or to our brother, I called him live on FaceTime from Mecca. And I was walking around the Kaaba, and I was looking at my brother, and he was happy, so happy to see me. And I flipped the camera and showed him the Kaaba and touched the Kaaba for him. And we had a real emotional moment and joyful moment at that time. So I was thankful that I was able to share that moment with my brother, not knowing what time would bring. Allah knows best, but our brother lives with us forever. And may Allah continue to bless his family and all of the believers in New York City and in the Eastern region and the entire nation of Islam, because that was Farrakhan's minister for sure.
Mm. Anytime you heard that loud voice when Minister Farrakhan is speaking, we all knew that was Minister Hafiz.
Absolutely. I remember, and as we're reflecting, because Ramadan is a great time of reflection, but so is the Eid. It's celebratory, but it's reflective. And I remember when we were trying to get back to normalcy, and we went out to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's epic Saviors Day address, the Swan Song. And I was with my brother and friend, Student Minister Abdul Haq from Newark, New Jersey. And we were sitting there and waiting, and it came across that, our brother wasn't there. And then it came back a little stronger when the minister got going, and we were so used to hearing that voice in our brother's voice, just like Minister Abdul Rahman, our great pioneer. May Allah be pleased with him.
Yes,
and, just a lot. But we know, again, that's the beauty of his spirit. It's still resonating, and it's still vibrating. And we thank Allah for his life and what Allah did with him in that life to touch others.
Yes, sir. So our topic, it's not that I want to stop talking about Minister Hafiz. We could spend a whole series on talking about him.
Absolutely.
He has touched so many. And me and you, because that's how we met, when I was doing the publicity for Africa Moja, the Spirit of Togetherness, the South African musical, when we came to Baltimore. You and Minister Kadir from Washington came down to see the show with your families, your wives. I had the chance to meet your wife.
Great, great, great time.
Yes, sir.
I still remember that show, and we really enjoyed it, and I thank you for inviting us and allowing us a moment just to breathe a little bit from the hard work and labor. Trust me when I tell you, it meant a lot to us.
Oh, I'm very happy, and I'm very happy to have been able to bestow that honor to give those tickets away. That was a wonderful opportunity. But we don't have a lot of time, and I just really want to get into this topic because it's something that I've been thinking about. And I know many people who are close to me, we have these conversations one-on-one about, just really what is it. So you titled this, and I was so honored when you titled this, Ramadan and Beyond, Holding the New You. It resonates with our listeners on so many levels. So what happens after Ramadan that allows us to slide down that slippery slope, and how can we avoid that slide? Let's get into it.
Well, it's interesting that our beloved leader and teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, was teaching us many years ago about the more that we build the will, and in building the will, we're getting closer to God by obeying his commands. And obeying Allah's commands, we find that we are able to get rid of things that keep us from him. Because we're working towards building the will, it's like building up a good practice or a good habit. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan was teaching us about when we're like that, we almost become supernatural. And so Allah commanded the Muslims to fast in a specific month, Ramadan, and to obey that command for 29 to 30 days. And in the process, it is to recalibrate us and realign us with him And that's why it's the most blessed of months, and contained in it are the most blessed of days and nights. And one in particular is better than 1,000 months or 83 years, the night of power, or night of decree, because that is the time that the Quran, the revelation of the Quran, began to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So once a year, the word or name Ramadan, which is the name of the ninth month, it doesn't mean to fast, but it only comes once a year. Allah only used the term Ramadan one time in the Holy Quran, even though he taught us to fast and commanded us to fast at other times. And so did the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his minister. So what we find is that we can't even believe that we could go one day without eating or drinking from sun up to sundown, let alone 29 to 30. But when we make the attempt, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, if you just did it for that one day, you would be on your way to a better you. And he said, look at what type of individual would we be if we strive to make it through the 29 or 30 days. So many of us, as we get going, it's like a marathon race. You know, my brother-in-law, Abdul Rasul Muhammad, general manager of the Final Call, you know, he used to run these marathons, and there are others that do it. And it's different from running a sprint. It's not the 100-yard dash. It is a pacing. And in that pacing in the first 10 days, the second 10 days, but in that last 10 days and nights, it's like the marathon runner paces, but when they're in that last amount of mileage or kilometers, they turn on everything. They give it their greatest passion. They give it their total strength to make it to that finish line. And that's how Ramadan is. And before you know it, that month is over. But you said it. We, in our obedience, gain the new better habits and get rid of old bad habits. So the thing that we have to be mindful of, dear Muslims and listeners, this is not a practice just because. We celebrate the Eid because Eid means recurring happiness, to celebrate a recurring celebration. And we're celebrating what? We're celebrating the obedience to God, not disobedience. We're celebrating obedience to the only one that can bring us through and strengthen us in ways that nobody else can. So I say and close with this. All of us know what it's like to use things. We eat, we use products, and we take it out the wrapper, or we cook the food, and we might have some leftovers or something that went bad, and we throw it in the trash. You don't go back in the trash and get out the old thing in the normal sense. Sometimes life brings out people to a lifestyle like that, but they're still human, where you might see our brothers and sisters digging in the trash, but in the general sense, we don't go back in the trash and get what we've thrown away. So don't go back into your life prior to Ramadan, the days before Ramadan, and try to go back and revert and get back those things that we picked up along the way since the last time, and then end up dirtying your clean slate that Allah just gave you. Allah said that any one of us that would fast in the month of Ramadan, he would remove our sins. But lastly, we don't just fast in that month. That's a pillar of our faith. So Allah says in the Holy Quran, before he even mentions Ramadan, he's telling us, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, kutiba alaykum siyamu, kama kutiba al-ladina wa min kablikum la'alakum tatakum. And this is translated as, O you who believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, that you may learn how to practice self-restraint or guard against evil. So we've learned to practice self-restraint. We've learned the ability of doing good deeds because our stomachs were hungry, but we denied ourselves. See, our throats were dry, but we denied ourselves under Allah's command, drinking. Our passions might have been active, but we suppressed it during the daylight hours because Allah commanded us to do so. So maybe for the first time, we know what it's like of our homeless brothers and sisters, or those that are less fortunate, not being able to get clean water, use or drink clean water, or have something to eat at will. It teaches us to become satisfied and grateful and thankful for what Allah has afforded us, instead of complaining about what we don't have when we have everything. So it's a beautiful time of celebration, but if I would say anything else, don't go back. Hold on to the spirit. Hold on to your discipline. And if you didn't reach your goal that you set out, that didn't mean stop at the Eid. Keep on going towards it. Some of us look and found out we can fit a garment or a suit that we couldn't fit before the start of Ramadan. Though it's not a weight loss fast, naturally we lose weight. But guess what? Your will is strong enough now to start your walks in the morning or hit the gym a little bit, and you've disciplined your diet. Keep on going towards the goal. And if you didn't finish the Quran in that 29 or 30 days, don't beat yourself up. The thing was, read it every day. So keep on reading until you finish, and Allah will reward all of us mightily. I know that was a lot, but I just wanted to get that out in the shortness of the time.
So what you're saying is that you don't have to stress yourself if you were not able to finish all of the list, read each segment per day. Mm-hmm. You can continue reading. What happens to the person who, let's say we're not eating in the day, so we're not mm-hmm. overindulging in sugar. We're not overindulging mm-hmm. in things that we normally overindulge in. When I say overindulge, I don't mean that you're eating, like, you know, 10 cupcakes at a time. I mean just the fact that you are eating sugary stuff all day. But when mm-hmm. Ramadan comes, you stop from the daylight hours. Then when Ramadan is over, you go right back. I've seen so many posts on Facebook about what they're going to have. They're going to have some coffee. I saw one of our prolific brothers in New York post that he's going to have some coffee and some bean pie. So
wow.
Is it that when we finish Ramadan, we automatically say, I'm looking forward to eating, you know, that slice of bean pie for lunch? Or, I mean, how do we check that? Which I think really is the question. Is it mm-hmm. that we're just being stiff-necked and rebellious, that we've done Ramadan, so now we can just go all out?
Yeah. Well, that's because of two things. And first I'll say that, remember, in our journey, I mean, that's what the Quran says. If you're sick on the journey, you fast that light number of other days. But it's deeper than the physical sickness. It's spiritual sickness. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his chief helper, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, has had the awesome task of taking us away from the behaviors and the mindset that have been employed on us since our people were brought here to be made slaves, and coming all the way through post-slavery, through Jim Crow and the turn of the century, and Master Fard Muhammad coming to give us our identity back and restore us. And in this, bringing back to us the natural religion of the black man and woman, which is Islam. Islam is our nature. So we're being brought back to a nature that we didn't know was our nature because we were lost. So for the most part, when we start fasting, and I know in my development, even in the December fast, when you're a new faster, it's difficult because you've never done those things. So the physical toll that it takes, but when you learn the spiritual values, then when we can set our mind, Minister Farrakhan said, when we set our mind on a thing, we can accomplish it. Just like in evil or in the world, when we wanted to do something or get into something, we made up our mind we was going to do whatever it took to get to that party or get here or get there, even though it was considered fun, but it was not necessarily beneficial. And so it is in the fast. The first level of entry, it's just fasting from food and water and maybe lawful relations. And that's it. So what did Prophet Muhammad say? There are many that take up the fast and will get nothing more for 30 days than hunger, thirst, and a restless night. Why? Because the fasting is first, but coupled with prayer, strengthen us. It strengthens us each day because the intent is to get closer to Allah. But the second level of fasting is guarding against this evil, la'allakum taqtakum, as the verse said, or practice restraint, right? is to fast with the eyes, fast with your ears, fast with the mouth from saying things or ill speech, right? And then the third level of learning to fast in Ramadan, but any other time, spiritual situation, is can you fast to the degree that you can keep focused on God in the midst of everything that's going on around you? And when you reach that level where when you're fasting, it could be chaos around you, but guess what? It doesn't disrupt your fast because the spiritual growth and development is happening for you in that moment. So when we kind of run back to the things that we might not have had, and let's keep it real. I'll be honest with you. I impose a certain diet on myself because I can't really technically stand hard meals for whatever reason during Ramadan. So I do soup and salad and fruit and leave sweets and dairy things alone from the mucus and things like that. But that's, you know, that's something that I impose on myself. But isn't it something about the nature, as I close this, the fitrah, right? We just had Eid al-Fitr, right? And we should know the word fitr because of iftar. This is the breaking of the fast. But fitrah or fatrah means original nature. In each evening when we break the fast, we return to our original state and then start over in the morning. But at the Eid, we're returning to our natural state, meaning the provisions that we were abstaining from, we naturally feel a right to. And the body is, and the mind is something. Now, when you get in that last 10 days, here you was cruising, and you feeling good about yourself. Somebody says, it's the last, see, you laughing. It's the last 10 days, right? And we start thinking like, woo, I can't wait to get out of this thing. And it'd be like, man, I'm thinking about a slice of New York City pizza. And I ain't had bread the whole month. For 20 days, I ain't had bread. I ain't had starch. But the mind is so suggestive. And that's why in the Quran, Allah is telling us that not only does the Satan without cast evil suggestions and firm resolutions, we do it to ourselves. So what we have to do, to your question, is strive mightily. And I close this point. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, do you know how you maintain your Ramadan after? Because Ramadan is the name of the month. Well, what month is it now in the lunar calendar? It is Shawwal. And the month of Shawwal, the word Shawwal means to carry a thing over. So we want to carry over the spirit, the discipline, the doing of the good deeds from Ramadan and do it naturally. So guess what he said? He said, any one of you that would follow up Ramadan that completed the 29 or 30 days. Now, if you got some days to make up, try to do them now while your mind and body is still in rhythm. But if you've completed it in this month, we can fast 6 additional days, just like in Ramadan. And the Prophet said, whoever does that gets the reward as if we fasted the whole year. These days in Shawwal are not obligatory. So if we break our fast, there's no charge on us. Try again. They do not have to be fasted consecutively, one right after another, as long as they're completed within the month of Shawwal. Me, I have my system. I'm fasting. I got through day one today. I'm going to go through Saturday and pause on Sunday because of the celebration at the mosque. And then on Monday, inshallah, pick it up. But the reasoning in that is I don't have the collective anymore. Those of us that put this on ourselves don't have the whole world fasting, right, or the whole locale fasting with you. So you're kind of on your own, and the team Shawwal we have that try to do it. But it helps us keep that discipline and feel good. It is a little different because your mind and your soul is telling you, you know Ramadan is over, right? You know you don't have to do that. So it's a journey. But that's one of the beautiful ways to hold on to your fast. And we know that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister gave us fasting at least 3 days a month in another form that should keep us disciplined.
Okay, Imam Salam, we are going to take a very, 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 I promise you, very brief commercial break, and we're going to come back to that conversation or that point you made on the collective.
Sure.
The first of our family is clouds up in the sky. Your ABCs and your red rose and green.
Fluff Presents the Alphabet is available on Amazon.com and on Kindle. So get your copy today. For more information, go to www.thefflufffamily.com.
Now back to the Keys 107.
So we are here on the Keys 107, where we open doors to endless possibilities in the pursuit of love, peace, and happiness. We are on a continuous journey with that, and we have quite a few callers on the line. I'd like to welcome all of you to the Keys 107. I'm just really so proud that you've taken a moment of your time to spend with us and dig deep into this conversation about Ramadan and beyond, holding the new you. And for those of you who have already called in and you want to speak, you have to press the number one on your keypad. That kind of signals a raise the hand icon, and I'll bring you in. And those of you who are listening via your mobile device, you can call in at 515-602-9760. You know, it's really something about those notification sounds. Like, you can be talking and that notification come on and you just automatically stop what you're saying and then look at your phone. That behavior is just crazy. But anyway, let me give out again that call-in number. It's 515-602-9760. Call in. We'd love to hear from you today. Now, before we went to that commercial break for my book, The Fluff Presents the Alphabet, we were talking about, you mentioned the collective, and I want to go into that because I was thinking about one of the most beautiful things about Ramadan is it's around the world. So you can go anywhere and see a Muslim and say, you know, Ramadan Mubarak, and usually they'll respond back to you with some zeal and some zest, and they're so happy to see that there's somebody who knows what they're going through and that they can, you know, sort of rally around with. And then it's the ummah, the community that we have when we're fasting during Ramadan. But then, as you mentioned, the Shawwal, did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Shawwal.
Shawwal, the Shawwal, and that's 6 days. So you're saying that you don't have the Shawwal, you don't have the collective during the Shawwal, so then how do you keep yourself on track?
Well, again, it starts with the individual. You know, I've made up my mind to enter in that which is being offered to us in the month of Shawwal in terms of a tradition to keep up a certain level of spirit. I mentioned earlier about going to and being blessed to go to Mecca and perform Umrah. And one of the things that you find is such a beautiful and spiritual experience. And that's why the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan still desires that one day we make Hajj together under the number 10,000. But I remember our guide, Imam Suleiman, telling us on our departure, it was the last day, and he said, go over to the mosque and spend as much time as you can over there, because inshallah, in a few hours, we're going to be gone. And he said that you're going to have to do, and I never forgot this, he said, you're going to have to try to hold on to the spirit and the experience as long as you can when you get back home, just like we should do after we finish fasting in Ramadan. So it starts with the individual, see? And look at what the Minister Louis, Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said about difficult situations. He said, the desire to attain a goal brings us face-to-face with difficulty. When we undergo the trial of difficulty, the trial may be so intense that it extinguishes the light of the desire to attain the goal. Well, that's how Ramadan starts. You know, we want to do this, but I don't think that I can. But if we stick with it, then the goal to which we're going towards becomes more and more clear and more reachable. But I've worked so hard, the difficulty that may have been in it, am I willing to just throw that away? Put it on myself. But guess what? You got other brothers and sisters that can be inspired. Say, hey, you want to do Shawwal? And I found that I've done it several times, but then other brothers and sisters wanted to do it. And that's how we do it at Mosque Number 6. Again, it's not obligatory, but when you got at least four or five other brothers with you and you can check in and say, how's it going today? You know, hey, man, I got two texts today. Day one complete. All praise is due to Allah. And communicate, you know, with the group. Hey, today is going to require me to do certain other things. I'm not going to fast today. However, I'm going to pick it up again tomorrow, and then by the end of next week or into 2 weeks in, we find that everybody might not have finished at the same day, but everybody checked in once they got there.
Mm-hmm.
And to check it off. So that's the kind of unity, and that's what Ramadan brings us to. Matter of fact, dear sister, when we really understand what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and our beloved minister has been teaching us in Islam, Islam from the Quran, and you've been reading your Quran in Ramadan, you will see that Islam is a uniting religion. It's a unifying religion. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad united our hearts. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has united the hearts of our people, whether they joined the mosque or not. He's united us. So prayer should be performed individually because it's obligated upon us, right? It's an obligation of five times a day. But guess what? Prayer is so much better when it's more than you or more than me, but that doesn't mean don't do it. So prayer in congregation is way more rewarding than just prayer by yourself. It has reward when you with other people and you're praying. It feels good. Your family is up with you. Your children are with you in Ramadan. Maybe we end up at the mosque and we have our prayers together and you do that. See, iftar, right? We grew up in a time where people sat down on Sunday and ate dinner together, but we see generationally that's gone. That table is finished. But in Ramadan, don't we make a striving? Because why? We don't intend to go to a corner and fast and remove ourselves from the society for 30 days. It is meant so much so that if you look at the addressing of etiquette, if we're in the prayer line and there's three lines full and somebody came and started a fourth line, it is incumbent upon the Muslim one or a few to step back on that new line so that believer would not be standing by themselves, such as the iftar. I make sure I watch when we're having our iftars at the mosque or at where we're meeting at. And I want to see, is everybody sitting with somebody? And I saw a few times where a believer was sitting by themselves, and I just asked, is somebody sitting here with you? Oh, no. You know, I said, went to another table, do me a favor, go sit at this table with this brother or with this sister and keep them company. And because it's not meant for us to do this by ourselves. That's the point. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has taught us the beauty of unity in the sisterhood, unity in the brotherhood, and then extending that spirit to teach our people that we must unite around common goals towards progress. Because if we don't do it for ourselves, then we will continue to suffer. And that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the black man and woman, and taught that through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that we must get up and do something for ourselves or suffer the consequences. So this is a uniting time, and keep that unity good. Do you know the minister had to tell us, and I think that we heard it, but sometimes we don't think too much of ourselves, and he's trying to help us get over that. You don't need permission to do good. So the fact that he has fed thousands and the followers following him to feed in these cities across America, tens of thousands, 50,000 meals, our student minister Ishmael reported on the Eid message yesterday on behalf of Minister Farrakhan. 50,000. Okay, dear Muslims all over the world feeding people. You're giving people charity. You're helping because your heart is soft. Don't let that heart get hardened. Still get together on your block. I went out where one of my brothers in the city then, and he wanted to give away free meals that day. So we converged down there with him to give out meals and to give out final calls and greet and meet our people and invite them to the mosque meeting. And it was a beautiful concept. That doesn't have to stop in Ramadan. We can still, in the new month of Shawwal, we can carry Ramadan over in the spirit of it because that's just the way of a Muslim in general.
Now, we have more callers on the line, Imam Salam, and nobody is raising their hand. I don't know if that means you don't have a question, you don't want to make a comment, and I would really not like to close this show and not give you a chance to talk to your Imam. He's here. Call-in number again, 515-602-9760. Press 1 on your keypad to let us know you want to talk. So now, I'm going to throw a few words at you, and I want to see how these words align to this. I'm going to say issue that people have with sticking to it, because we're talking about Ramadan because we just came off of Ramadan. But this is a problem in general. Many times people go on diets to lose weight, do different things to improve their health, to improve their life, and then in a short amount of time, they find themselves slipping right back into that behavior, whatever that behavior is. So the first word I'm going to throw at you is reluctance.
Okay.
And you can align this with our conversation.
Sure. Well, we're reluctant to do the thing that may be beneficial to us because it may entail difficulty. And we don't like things that are hard. We were taught in the Nation of Islam that slavery, as hard as we worked, when we were released from chattel slavery, it technically made us a lazy people. And as time went, it got worse and worse. So we don't mind. It's interesting, though. We'll work for somebody else, but we'll never work that hard for our own selves. We'll go serve other people, but never serve our own people with the same energy and spirit. You see, so we're reluctant sometimes because of the difficulty. So we make promises or these resolutions, like on January 1 of each calendar year. And guess what happens? Within a week or three days, it's over because it gets extinguished, you know. And I can go right to the words of the minister again. He said, listen to what he said in self-improvement. Brothers and sisters, each time we turn away from the struggle to overcome difficulty, there then is the deterioration of character, and there is destruction of the will. And the will that is within you is God's gift. It is his essence that he gives to man, and anything that deteriorates your will destroys your ability to cope with the problems of life. Struggle is ordained, but we don't like struggle. So in the Quran, the language of the 94th chapter of the Quran, the Al-Ansharah or the expansion, is yusri yusra wa yusri yusra. After difficulty comes ease. After difficulty comes ease. Allah's telling you, I've put into your journey difficulty so that you could achieve the ease and be stronger when the new difficulty comes. So he's telling the prophet to tell us that when you are free from anxiety, make your Lord your exclusive object. Work hard and make your Lord your exclusive object. Isn't that what Ramadan was about? Isn't that why we're able to accomplish in Ramadan the resolution we want, the resolve that we want? But I tried it January. I was going to get in the gym. I was going to straighten my diet out. I was going to write that book. I was going to get started on this, right? All of these projects we got. But in Ramadan, it seems easier to stay focused because of that collective, and the difficulty produces the release of being anxious and causes us to make our Lord our exclusive object, and now we can work harder because we found out we could do it. I can make my five prayers. I can go from sunup to sundown without eating or drinking. So guess what? All that procrastination, I can overcome that. And so, but we're reluctant because, again, this thing about, can I do it, or that might be a little too hard. And when we are not, when we feel that we're not obligated to a thing, it could be the best thing for us. But we'll always try to take the path of least resistance as if we're just water. We're solid, we're liquid, and we're gas. We're the epitome of Allah's creation. We're not in one essence or one form. We're the total sum of what you see on the earth and the total sum of what you see in his universe. We are the total sum of how that sun regulates the affairs of nine planets just as much as our brain regulates the nine systems of the body. And so the light of the sun is no different than the light of truth coming to us from Allah through his prophets, his messengers, old and contemporary, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his minister. So all we got to do to get out of that reluctance is think on the men that pulled us towards attaining that goal and the strength and saw so much better in us than what maybe we saw in ourselves. So you got me fired up. Well, one word.
You know, as you said that, I want to share this with you and with the audience because you just triggered this thought. At one day during Ramadan, I was thinking about the people who have lifted me and brought me to where I am. As you said earlier, Ramadan is a time of reflection, and I take that very, very seriously. I reflect on my life when I am during Ramadan. And this year I had an image of my father, John Soares, who taught me how to pray when I was born. I was born Muslim. My father was Muslim then.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an image of him standing by the steps doing the Adhan in his white, and it was amazing. My father's no longer here, Imam Salam. So that was very powerful for,
mm-hmm.
yes, sir, for that to have happened. You just triggered that thought with me, and I wanted to share that because those are the people that have brought you where you are today, and maybe sometimes if they're still with you, you can rely on them to strengthen you
mm-hmm.
during the after Ramadan
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I heard our beloved leader and teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, say that he had to learn in this rebuilding process to lean his mind on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, lean his mind on Allah. And what was he telling us? That when you're not sure of a thing or you're in something and it might be a little troubling, you lean your mind on what did Allah say about that, or how would my teacher handle this situation? Because the messenger of God is the example. And when he said that to us in a letter many years ago, I believe around 1999 or 98 or something like that, in a letter about when he needed to step away from the day-to-day handling of the nation's problems to address his health, and that we were not to contact him. But he said, just lean your mind like I do. Lean your mind on Allah. Lean your mind on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. But he didn't include himself. But I do. And we should, right? I lean my mind on him so much when I'm trying to do things, especially in a moment when you want to be weak. He is my strength. God is my strength. But the example of God's strength is in what I watched this beautiful man of God demonstrate before my eyes. And being a student and helper of his, I'm so thankful to have such a teacher that in moments when I don't know the best words, he's given me all the words.
Mm.
It's the approach of unity and to bring peace in a chaotic moment. I had a situation in Baltimore where so-called street gang members wanted to harm a prominent person in our city out of a dispute and a misunderstanding, but both sides respected me enough. They asked me, could I help with peace? And that's a hard thing when you're dealing with people that literally is telling you on one side, we're going to do something to this man. And I'm telling you, you can't do that, you can't do that. But they agree, both, that the only way to bring peace is if the minister could come and bring peace or you. And I said, oh, wow.
Mm.
And I had to lean my mind on my leader. How do you heal people, bring peace when we got people that have a certain mentality and they don't mind killing and, you know, and I leaned my mind on him because he is the peacemaker among us. And guess what? Allah blessed us to bring peace and watch those brothers embrace and cry together. Isn't that something? So when you lean your mind on your father or our parents that we've lost, we lean our mind on Brother Hafiz. That's why I'm glad somebody reposted his Eid message to us from 2019, because that was always the highlight for him during Ramadan at the end to bring Eid Mubarak greetings. See, all we got to do is lean on our minds on the greatness of those that helped us along our way. Sister Ava is not dead. Her flesh is gone. Brother Jabril is not dead. Their flesh is gone. Malcolm X is not. Look at how Malcolm X from Elijah Muhammad is still feeding the world from the grave. But this is the thing. We got the most beautiful man among us for black people in the world of humanity. And that's why he could come on day one of the Umar Reflex prayer line, as he normally does, and give us that message and give us a focus extending from his epic address at Savior's Day, that we have to lean our minds on the suffering and hurt of people and do everything in our power to address those injustices with our mouths, with our hands, right, and with what we have. I may not be able to go to Gaza, but guess what? I can pray. I can lend charity, but I got Gaza under bridges in Baltimore and in New York and in L.A. We got suffering and injustices where we are, so we have to think on a global level, but you can start in solidarity and unity right where you are, and that's the heart, and that's the mind, and that's the work and example of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and I thank Allah for blessing him and you and the countless millions that have been under his voice, so that when we're not too sure, and Carlos want to come back out. I leave my mind on the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and tell Los to shut up, because that's the better way, because he's a winner and he's teaching us how to win.
Okay, I have two more words and we have about 7 more minutes.
Yes, ma'am.
The next word is judgment, actual or perceived.
Well, judgment is a serious situation among so-called American Negroes in general, but definitely among black people. And you know what? The Quran teaches us, be careful. And both Bible and Quran speak similarly. You know, be careful who you place judgment on, lest you yourself be judged.
Mm-hmm.
Allah is Maliki al-Madin in Surah Al-Fatiha. But before he gets to the master of this day of requital or judgment, he's introducing himself to us as the beneficent, the merciful, and Lord, nourisher, sustainer of all every levels of knowledge and worlds. And because he's the best knower, and he is Al-Alim, the all-knowing Allah, he's Rabbil Alameen, then guess what? He has a right to judge what he creates. See? But he judges by the use in symbolic meanings of the scale of good deeds and bad deeds. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, we got to be careful. We're too judgmental because we perceive people according to our personal view, and we take that personal view and try to put that off on others. But if we look beyond, see, as he has always done, as the scripture says, look past my faults and saw my need. That's what Ramadan was teaching us. I can't judge that man's condition. He in need. I got something to be able to assist, so I do it. Not because Allah said he would reward me, because it should be in the nature of my soul to do it naturally. See? So we have to be careful of judgment, because there's different ways to see a thing. And some of us stop short at what we see on the outer, not recognizing the beauty of the inner that might be covered up by circumstances. Huh. Might
That's
be
right.
covered up by atmospheres or the moment at hand. So I remember the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, since the archive is part of me, is remembering this. He talked about being in a certain emotional state or a certain mindset. And he said that the son of Brother Khalat Muhammad, this is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's brother, who turned on his own brother out of envy and jealousy. But his son had, Khalat's son, had written the Honorable Elijah Muhammad a letter, maybe in the 70s. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said when he read the letter, he kind of was in the framework of, don't bother me with that. He said the messenger said, but when I got to my room and read the letter later in the evening, I saw it differently, because when he read it before, he was busy with the day work. So the day work didn't put him in a position to read such a letter, because that's what he does doing. He's reading these letters. But there's so much weight of running a nation on our apostle that he couldn't see it. He couldn't get the real spirit of the letter. But in the evening when he was settled, he saw it differently. So what is that teaching us? In Islam, we know that one of the names of Allah is As-Sabir, the patient Allah. And we are taught to exhort one another to truth and patience, right? Watawasaw bilhaq, watawasaw bisabr. These are the two last parts of Surah Al-Asr, or the 103rd chapter. Because if we believe and are the doers of good, then we are to exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to patiently persevering. Isn't it something that I want somebody to be patient with me, but I won't give it back? Isn't it something that Allah says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, but we always, as the Honorable Minister Farrakhan said, we're trying to steal some of the praise for ourselves. So I heard a person ask the minister, Brother Minister, you did all of this great work today, and I mean, you did it again, talking about a crowd. He was like, and you're so humble that, I mean, you work so hard and you won't even take no credit for it. Not even a little bit. Can't you just take a little bit of credit, Brother Minister? And the minister laughed. He said, maybe I could, but I won't. Because the moment I take a little credit, you all will try to take it all.
Oh.
The moment that I try to take some praise and credit that belongs to Allah, you all would take all the credit when it always belongs to Allah.
Mm.
And he said, when we say Allah is greater or the greatest, we got to mean it. Allahu Akbar. That means Allah is greater. He's Kabar. He's greater than anything there is. So if somebody says, that was great, Salam, that was great, Dr. Rafika, you did a great job. Okay, good. But Allah is greater than that. All
yes.
Time. So we
yes.
have to be careful of judging people, because the person you judge today will be your savior tomorrow. The prophet did not judge his tribe or the warring tribes of Mecca and Arabia, though they wanted to kill him, though they were hostile towards him. He worked and he worked until what? He won them, and they all eventually became Muslims. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad worked hard. He took the snares, the curse words, and he said if they cut me out line for line, right, that he could stand before Allah. He would not be afraid. See? So what is that telling us? He said if it was a crowd of 10,000 out there cussing them out and talking about they would do this, he would not fear standing before them. Why? Because Allah was with him. And that if Allah left him for one fraction of a second, he would be a walking fool. Our beloved minister is not a man of courage just because. He's a man of courage because he knows the total source of his strength, and that's Almighty God, Allah. And so don't be judgmental. Work on those things. Sometimes we just got to get out of the emotional that clouds reasoning and go sit down, and maybe we'll see that situation different.
Okay, I have another word.
You're listening to The Keys 107 with Dr. Rafika.
And our next word is overvaluing.
Overvaluing. Well, my teacher, again, I have to say this. You know, we have a great example. My teacher taught me and has taught us, if we're listening. You know, none of us have to think more of ourselves than what we are. Because when we think more of ourselves than what we are, it diminishes the motive for why we do what we do. See? Now, we are people who have been bruised and told that we're nothing. But wherever there is the starved ego, it is the potential for disaster. I heard one of my great brothers and friends and mentors here in the city of Baltimore, Dr. Andre Bunley, he made ego into an acronym, and he said ego means edging God out. And when our egos are going, God ain't nowhere in it. It's only the self. And the minister said it's something about the self. When it runs awry, it becomes destructive. See? So when we look at this of overvaluing a situation of the self, then it makes it impossible to do the thing we said that the religion causes us to go towards, and that is unifying. because all we're concerned with is self. So the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said, even in the necessity of nationalism, by restoring our pride, our dignity, the way the Savior put nationalism in the message, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the minister had to do that to bring us up to a certain level. He said nationalism carried to the extreme becomes destructive because at the end of the day, we don't care about anybody but us. See, so the value is in the collective because I got a part, you got a part, brother over there got a part, this organization got a part. And when we can unite around those common goals, we bring our gifts, our talents together to the nucleus and to the formation of Ahad, one. Kuhu Allah u Ahad, Allahu Samad. Say he Allah is one, the eternal, the absolute. See, one, one. We come from one source, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said. In the Quran, it's called Nafsin Hu Wahidid, created from a single essence and is made of the same, right? This is one source, one life force, the minister said, that everything living is operating off of. So we have to come in unity with the one God, with the many gifts and talents that he has given us so that we can create one reality where everybody can live in peace and live in harmony.
I was just getting ready to text you and tell you that we are near the end. And I'm going to say to you, Imam Salam, that this conversation is not finished. It's ongoing. And this is your first time appearing on the Keys 107 Network, and you have a home here. You're welcome here anytime.
Oh, thank you.
And I know we have to pick this up more because there's something about the psyche that I really want to dig deep into, that what makes us, you know, really what makes us go back. Because we, and I mean, 30 days is a decent amount of time to develop a good habit or break a bad habit.
That's right.
Right?
That's
so,
right.
You know, just kind of going through that again and again. Here we go with those text messages. You know, I might turn my phone off when I do these shows. I'm not sure because that's how we all communicate, is through our phones. But
yeah,
I haven't gotten the discipline to hear a notification and ignore it. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I don't know about the listeners. We have a lot of listeners on the line, Imam Salam. I think they're a little shy. They don't want to talk, but I'm sure they absorbed a lot of what you said today. And our topic tonight has been Ramadan and Beyond, Holding the New You, and three major points that Imam Salam has highlighted is, number one, when you're trying to avoid going down that slippery slope of touching on those bad habits that you just worked so hard to get rid of, number one, obey Allah's command. Number two, lean your mind on Allah. Number three, lean your mind on those who came before you. And with those three points, that should be enough to get you started in staying on track. Do you have any closing words, Imam Salam?
Well, sister, once again, I'm very honored. I'm very humbled. And thank you so much for us reconnecting tonight, and to your listening audience. And may Allah continue to bless you, your family, and the show, and the great work that you're doing. I know you're a very hard worker, and I'm so humbled as a student and helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to have served your audience and serve you tonight and anytime that you would desire to have your brother reach out, and we will work very hard, inshallah, to do that, especially if there's topics where you think that it would be of interest to your listening audience. But I really enjoyed, you know, I know radio because you did the show when you came
That's
down
right.
or, you know, being thrown, and we know that when you got an hour, it's gone. It's gone the moment you start, especially when it's live, you know, so I'm very, very humbled. And if I could, though, I want to give a big shout-out to Muhammad Mosque number 6 and the mighty believers of this beautiful city. They helped produce one of the best Ramadans we've ever had as a mosque, especially since the COVID years. But it felt like 2019, but I find that this is this exceeded 2019 as Allah blessed us to have a beautiful month of activity and learning and growth in the iftars. And most importantly, on behalf of Minister Farrakhan, uniting the Muslim Ummah all throughout the city. And it was a wonderful, wonderful expression of Eid to have Mosque No. 6 and the Muslim Cultural Center and Masjid Alan Shira unite to bring the community out. And it was a successful Eid. And I just wanted to thank the believers for making that happen and following their brother and what the minister is guiding us to do.
Well, I'm going to also shout out Muhammad Mosque No. 6 for that outstanding work during this Ramadan. And absolutely, you know that I have to shout out Mosque No. 7, Imam Salam.
Oh, come on,
because
now.
If I don't, now you know. There will be some real problems here in New York regarding that. But anyway, you're listening to The Keys 107, opening doors to endless possibilities in the pursuit of love, peace, and happiness. We are the world's leading self-help network where we help you get on track, stay on track, and we bring experts to talk to you consistently. I am Dr. Rafika, mm-hmm. your host, and again, giving thanks to Imam Salam, who took time and was so patient with us in coming back, and this is his home, so he'll be back.
Thank you, thank you.
You're listening to The Keys 107 with Dr. Rafika. It's time to go. Thanks for tuning in. Connect with us on social media at The Keys 107 or email comments, questions, or just say hi at thekeys107network.com. And don't forget to share and tell all your friends about The Keys 107. Help is on the way.
Paradise, oh, I can ask for more.